I know you've been waiting for this time of the week, talking about classic cars. Every single week we get new calls, new texts from people we haven't heard from before who've got old cars in their garage, just gathering a little bit of dust, maybe got an old cover, maybe sitting out in a paddock, and you want to know what it's worth, just in case you need it for a rainy day, or maybe you want to know, is the market spiking for that type of car? If you do want to know what your old car in the shed is worth, text me now and you can find out from Mark Haybittle, who is my guest from Supercar Secrets, because the world of classic cars is evolving all the time. It's up, it's down, it's all over the place. So the big question is, what's going on this week? Mark, good evening.
Hi, how are you, Kylie?
Yeah, good, thank you. Firstly, let's chat about one particular Japanese car that was meant to sell for $2 million. Did I actually get that right?
Yeah, well, it's more that the there was an article published around about a year ago that was from Hagerty, and Hagerty are quite a big insurance broker in the United States, and they also have a big classic car segment. And they made some predictions last year, some fairly bold predictions. And one of their predictions was that there'd be a sale of a Japanese car this year for $2 million. We didn't quite reach it, but we did reach 1.85. So not far off.
Well, it's amazing, isn't it, when you hear these prices? We've just had Julian from Kings Meadow phoned in and chatted to my producer. He's got a 1976 Combi Microbus, a 2-litre red. Bright Ready says approximately 58,000 Ks on the clock, but he's not sure that is the correct kilometres on the clock. You never know, it might have done, what do they call it when it laps around the sun?
Around the clock.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, that's it. And it's got internal locking that's been added. What do you think that sort of car would be worth?
Well, these Combis, I think you and I have talked about them before, and they're worth an absolute fortune these days. And that's a 1976 one. And if the Ks were genuine, if it was genuinely 58,000, that van there with the 2-litre in the back, which is the most powerful unit that they had in them and definitely the best engine by far, probably about 70K, somewhere between 65 and 70K, depending on condition.
I think Julian's going to be smiling about that. Here's another one. This is Marilyn. Hi, Marilyn. Good to hear from you on the program this evening. She says, I've got an FX Holden sedan, also known as the 48 series, manufactured in 1951. It's all original, tiny bit of rust in the door sills. Is that right? Sills?
Yeah,
the body's good, but it needs a paint, unregistered at the moment. Thinking of selling soon. What would you say about it?
Yeah, the problem with that one for me, Kylie, is it's a bit before my time. If you recall, I only really go back to sort of about 1962, 63 with the cars that we know about. Having said that, the FX is one of the golden children of the Holden collection. And if it was painted up nicely, it would be worth a fair bit of money. How much that is, I don't really know, because I'm not much good on anything before 1962. You know.
Would you recommend to Marilyn though? Don't just sell it easily. Make sure she definitely does her research.
Oh, absolutely. And what would be more important would be to probably get a quote on getting it repainted, because that'll make a world of difference. And if the person that repaints it in an original way, then the car will be worth what it should be worth. You know, it'll hold its value and keep rising in value now that Holdens are no longer made.
Now, in the article that you sent through earlier today, it was written roughly 12 months ago, this article, but there were some predictions made for classic cars in 2022. Let's talk about them.
I mean, one of the predictions was an interesting one. Sales through the online space, being online auctions and so on, would double. Well, in fact, they've quadrupled. So there you go. It's not just doubled; it's doubled the double.
Right. And so, are you talking about the bigger companies, without mentioning names, that we most of us can, you know, think of a few of them? So they're quite sophisticated websites, and you're not talking about just any old body doing an online auction.
No, but there's a couple of new players that that began. Actually, earlier on in 2021, and they've gathered momentum in 2022 in a big way. There's one in the United States, and there's one here in well, the one here in Australia is part of a global enterprise, and that enterprise there has gained a lot of momentum, and now the prices that we're seeing on there are far more, they're far closer to the prices that we achieve from our collector friends. So it's come a long way, that website. That website, probably the sale prices have more or less gained a third, shall we say, in the last 6 months. So that just gives you some idea of the popularity.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, if anyone does want to join the conversation, my guest is Mark Haybittle from Supercar Secrets. Text the make, the model, the colour, the K's to 0438 922 936, or you can definitely call if you want to. If you're up for a chat and you really want to go through your car in a bit of detail, call 1300 222 936. A text earlier from Bray, who's enjoying the program. Lovely to hear from you. Anyone else who wants to text in, please do. This one from Felicity in Margate. She says, I've got a 1988 Toyota Corolla four-wheel drive station wagon with electronic diff lock, 150,000 Ks, 1800 engine. I'm not probably very high-tech at reading these out, but she says, give me an idea what that one might be worth, Felicity in Margate.
Right. Felicity, that's a really interesting vehicle. That'll be a Toyota Tercel. And not too many of them made their way to these shores. And now, as you can imagine, there's even fewer of them around. And the last Toyota Tercel that I saw change hands actually changed hands for $26,000, which is, when you consider that these cars probably 2 years ago were like a $500 car, that's a big jump. And it's really because of the rarity. And certainly up here in New South Wales, I can't say the last time I saw a Tercel. It would have to be over 4 years ago. So a long time ago, and they are a super rare car. They're actually a really good car because 1800cc engine, so quite economical, but they're four-wheel drive. So they're sort of like the Toyota version of a Subaru Outback or something like that, you know?
$500 to 20, what did you say, 28,000?
26, yeah.
That's incredible.
Admittedly, the one that we saw sold was mint, and it was, I think from memory, it only had about 60,000 Ks on the clock, but it was mint, and all the trim was beautiful, the paint was beautiful. It was just a really original car that had been loved all its life and always garaged. But it just shows you the values of some of these cars when they're in that condition, Kylie. You know, they're just, when they've been loved like that, people appreciate them.
Those Toyota Tercel owners out there are all just smiling, thinking, oh my God, I've got a little gem in the garage. Because, yeah, when you say $500 only a matter of a year or two ago, that is, an extreme difference. Now, moving on from that one, can you remind us exactly, this is a funny one, what analog supercars are?
Oh, analog really is proper cars.
Okay, so that's what that means.
Okay, so there's a couple of technical things that I'll say here, but ultimately a proper car, an analog car, which is certainly the cars that I drive, they don't have ABS, but more importantly, they have a throttle cable, and a throttle cable connects your pedal. So when you're driving your car, Kylie, it means that when you press the pedal, it operates a cable which is directly connected to the engine. Now, that was phased out in roughly 2006, so pretty well every car after that has a thing called fly-by-wire, which means that when you press the throttle, it goes through about four computers, a whole load of wiring, and then eventually thinks about actually operating the engine. There's a big difference.
Yeah, a very big difference. Yeah, I think I need the one that does all the things and not the one that is the supercar.
Well, it's a question of feel, really, because it makes the one with the throttle cable makes you be able to feel what you're doing so much more closely. And a car that's got a really defined braking system, which normally means getting rid of ABS, means that you can really feel the brake, so you can drive the car properly, and that's what an analog supercar is all about. It's the proper way where you can feel when you lock the brakes, you can feel what the suspension's doing, you can feel what the steering's doing, you can feel what the engine's doing. It's feel thing.
And what's the prediction for SUVs and analog supercars?
Analog supercars will just keep on rocketing up the charts because everybody wants them, because everybody wants a genuine feeling car, where when you're buying a supercar, you generally know how to drive. And that means that you want to feel all of the experience. So an analog car will give you that. With the SUVs, it's hard to find an SUV that actually that is analog. There's not too many of them around because you've got to go way back to the early Range Rovers to get that feel, or the early Land Cruisers. So they've got a big future too.
And in the article that you sent for classic cars in 2022, what was the prediction for older American and British cars, and has it actually come true?
Yeah, the American cars have definitely stagnated and in some cases dropped. A lot of the Mustangs really haven't risen really in the last year or so. So that's definitely come true. The British cars, not so much, because but it depends on the era. So if it's a British car from the 60s, they probably have had their time. I mean, we certainly don't look at things much below 1970 now. I mean, we're aware of all the prices of 1960s cars and we know what's going on, but we wouldn't go and buy any from that era anymore except for E-types. So it's a sort of 70s, 80s and 90s thing that's going on these days. And it's just because really it's the age of the cars and it's the age of the people that like the cars. So the age of the people that like the cars is getting on a bit now. So, you know, a car from the 60s is kind of maybe appreciated by someone that's reaching 80 now. And that's kind of, there's less of those people around than there were last year, for example, you know.
And prices of used cars, according to this texter, increased during COVID, and you're well aware of that and have highlighted that on the program. But the texter says, especially some Euro sports cars, partly because of difficulty in sourcing new models. I mean, they want to know, are values likely to drop or might values stay high for these Euro sports cars?
Yeah, well, when you're talking about the general, what we call bread and butter used car market, they will start to stabilise. They'll start to drop because new cars are now becoming more available again. The chip shortage is not quite so extreme as it was in 2021. So the middle range bread and butter cars, those prices will come off a little bit now. They'll drop a tad, you know, probably 2 or 3%, that kind of thing.
Now tell me about eight-figure classics, and have they returned as predicted?
Well, they've returned and boomed. They've just gone on to bigger and better things. The top end of the whole classic car game is literally on fire. You know, everybody's getting in and no one's afraid of spending some serious money on collectible cars, knowing that they're only going one way. I mean, if you get the right cars, as we do, and that's why people invest with us, you can't go wrong. They only go up, really. And those cases I spoke about a moment ago of cars not going up anymore, really, they don't go down, they just flatline. So even those are a good investment. You know, some of the 60s and 70s cars, they're just flatlining. They're not dropping, they're just not going up anymore.
And now, this is probably a self-explanatory term, but when we're talking about a project car, are we talking about something that's an absolute bomb that you do up to, you know, offload it? Or is it a passion car, that project car? How would you define it?
Look, project's a good term, Carly. It's a good term. If you type in project car into Gumtree, you'll probably find literally 50 pages.
Really?
Of project
okay.
Cars.
Yeah. Yeah. So, sounds like a headache in my mind, but I'm sure there's
absolutely.
Some good ones.
It would be a headache. And the thing is, Carly, with project cars, when it comes to classic cars, they can be anything from something that needs a little bit of engine work and possibly a quick repaint to a total rebuild. And so they're everything in between. You know, you can have something with a very small amount of work or something that just needs total restoration and ground up rebuild. And we call them, they move on into the next realm, which is barn finds. And a barn find, a true barn find, it generally needs a total restoration. You've generally got to pull the entire car apart and start all over again.
Now, if anybody wants to join in the conversation and you have got a secret, potentially valuable car in your garage, you might not even know if it's valuable. You might think, oh, no, that's an old bomb that I was given 10 years ago for $500 or whatever it might be. Just text in case, because you never know. Tell me the make, the model, the colour and the kilometres, just as a starter. If you want to text 0438 922 936, or if you want to call 1300 0800 222 936. Do it now so we can get to your text because we don't have that much longer. Now, we might have talked about, I don't think we have actually, this specific car before, but I read an article that referred to the Shelby GT350, also known as the Cobra, and it described it as a darling of the late 60s and also a high-performance descendant of the Ford Mustang. Are you a fan of that one?
I'm very aware of them, and some of our collectors have them. They're not absolutely my cup of tea. But they're a very sought after car, and some of them, a small number of them, were hand signed on the glove box lid from Carroll Shelby, because Shelby was a specialised tuning and modification company in the States. And in fact, you may, if you have you seen Ferrari versus Ford versus Ferrari, Kylie?
No, I haven't. Now I want to see it though.
Yeah, if you see the movie, in that they feature Carroll Shelby a lot. By Matt Damon plays the part of Carroll Shelby, and it actually covers that whole period of time when those cars came out and when they were being built. But the ones with the hand signed glove boxes, they're worth huge amounts of money, and a GT350 Shelby is a bit of a thing. Like it's a three, you know, a real big V8 powered Mustang with and it's a fastback as well. So they're a very nice looking Mustang. They're not a convertible. They're a fastback.
Okay, a few texts coming in. This one from Ian. This sounds really interesting, actually. He says, "Hello, Kylie and Mark. I've got a 1990 Land Rover Parenti 6x6 ambulance, 100% roadworthy in pristine condition." What's a 6x6 ambulance, Land
Rover?
Yeah,
they're a pretty interesting thing. Basically, they extended the chassis and made it, and so instead of it being having four wheels and being four-wheel drive, it's got six wheels, and if it's the version I'm thinking of, the last four wheels all drive. So it's basically six-wheel drive, and it's an ambulance. So they were a military vehicle. They used them as military vehicles. Pretty special thing, actually, because they're quite long, because they sort of extended the rear end of them, you know, put another set of wheels on the back.
Sounds like it'll be really good for camping, but what's it worth?
They are, I'll tell you what, that would be a really hard thing to value.
Are they that rare?
Yeah, they are. Look, they're a very special thing. They were specialists. They were really had army heritage. I wouldn't really want to put a price on it, only because I could be wildly inaccurate. I've not come across too many of them. I'm very aware of them, and the collectors are very keen to secure one of those at some point. So if the gentleman wants to get in touch with us, we might find a home for it if he wants to sell it. But as to the value, I'm not sure, to be honest. I really don't know.
Ooh, it sounds like an interesting one. I love those, the little puzzles. Here's another one. This one, an old Porsche 19... Oh, it's a 986 Boxster. Are they likely to hold value? Sort of a mix of analog and digital, says this texter.
Yeah, well, they are. They're exactly that. They're actually rising in value now. They're on the up. They're very much a rising car because they came from quite a low base. But and what year was it again?
That one was it doesn't say. It just says would they hold their value? So no, they didn't provide a year.
Yeah, they'll do more than hold their value. They're definitely on the up at the moment. Like whatever gentleman thinks it's worth today, well, it's going to be worth at least 30% more this time next year, for sure, on that. Definitely on the up and getting rarer. But there's quite a few series of those Boxsters. So hence the reason for, not being able to quantify a value on it at this point in time without knowing more information.
Here's another one. Sarah, I've got a Mitsubishi Pajero 1984 short wheelbase. Could do with a respray. It's done over 300,000 Ks, but we've replaced the head. Thoughts on that?
They're quite a rare car now. The short wheelbase Pajero is the one that you never see any of. They're also known as the EO in some circles. Depending on what engine it's got, because some were V6 and some were diesel, If it was the V6, and again, the kilometres are a bit against it, about $18,000 for one of those now, if it had less Ks on it. So probably with the Ks on it, probably about 12.
There we go. That's an interesting one. Here we got a 2004 MGZT 260, 80,000 Ks, good condition and manual.
Oh, they are really rare. They are. They're basically a very similar car to an S-Type Jaguar, but a lot more exciting, with a very special engine, and very few of them in this country. Very few. Very few. They are super rare. Haven't seen one change hands actually in this country, but in English pounds back in England, they're worth about £20,000. So in equivalent value, that's about 40,000 Australian dollars. But in saying that, they're such a great car that really, if a collector was to want one from us, we would probably be asking more than that for it.
Ooh, okay. Well, that's a good one.
Yeah, they're a rare car, those ZTs. Yeah, they're a bit special.
Mervyn's in Scottsdale. Oh, hey, Mervyn, thanks for getting in touch. Nice to hear from you. Mervyn's got a 1982 yellow Mazda Bongo van. Bit of rust, needs some tidying up. It's got 165,000 Ks on the clock. He's not sure, though, if it has been around the clock. What's that one worth?
I should imagine it's not exactly in mint condition, because Bongo vans never were. But again, rarity alone is making them rise up the charts. So something that would have been, you know, a couple of thousand dollars worth 2 years ago, now probably about 16 to 17,000 for something like that. And if you tidied it up and repainted it, the other side of 20, you just can't get them. I mean, the last time I saw a Bongo van on the road would be 5 years ago, at the very least.
Okay, get cracking, everybody. If you have any more questions for Mark, right now is the time to pick up your phone and send the text message 0438 922 936, or if you're a slow texter and you can't be bothered, just ring and talk to my producer. She'll take down the details for you. 1300 222 936. Now, just thinking about Italian little mini cars, those, you know, like I generally tend to think like two-seater, bright colours, cute sunroofs. They're always in movies. Always you see them in European movies. But I don't know exactly what is that car I'm thinking of. Is it like a 65 Fiat 500, or is it a BMW Asetta? Is it? What are those cars you always see in the movies?
Yeah, it's hard to know exactly which one you're thinking of, because there are quite a few different ones. So
I feel like they're Fiat Bambinos or something. There's just so many of these cute little, you know, mini European cars.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of them were made, and a lot of manufacturers came up with similar cars. And I mean, the Fiat 500, as you would know, you know, they're a little car, and they did make a convertible version of that, because really the whole roof rolled right back on the 500s. On many of them. But there was also small Alphas as well. So you probably need to guide me a bit more into what you're thinking of, which ones.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll go and look it up and figure it out. Okay. Another one here. Earlier we had that question about the Porsche 986 Boxsters. 2003. Yeah. They've come back with the year.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, yeah, what sort of value for that do we think if you had an old 986 Boxster 2003?
Yeah, if it's got modest kilometres on it, it's going to be probably in around 55. That's about where it's going to be.
Okay, now this is an interesting one. Someone's just called in and spoken to my producer, Bella. It's kind of a bit before your time. I've just got to have a little cough. Hang on. Got a tickle in my throat. It must have been the car. Anyway, it's nearly gone. A 1958 Messerschmitt KR200.
Oh, wow. Oh, look, the little Messerschmitts, they're just amazing things. They are worth a lot of money for when you consider how small they are. So the Messerschmitts are basically the micro cars, Kylie, like the little Heinkel bubble car, if you remember those.
Oh, yeah, I do.
So the Messerschmitt was the slightly longer and wider version of that. Still carried one person. But great little cars. And again, easier to value in UK terms to say that they're worth between £25,000 and £30,000. because they're much more common over there than they are here. There's not too many micro cars in this country. But if you transferred it across, well, then obviously you'd have $50,000. But I'm not saying that's exactly what it's worth, because the market's very, very tiny for those cars here.
And something else about this car, but I was having a little coughing episode, so I couldn't actually give you the extra details, is it's bright yellow, it's registered, and it is the only one in Tasmania.
Oh, it would be the only one in Tasmania. It's probably only one of possibly two or three in the country, I'd be thinking. And the bright yellow, of course, you may remember from future previous conversations about my Lotus Esprit, that are bright yellow, that, of course, I love bright yellow. So what a great choice of colour. Awesome.
Okay, now, a 1972 GT Ford Capri, roughly 150,000 miles. That was the first one. They've got two.
Right. We need to know if one of them's a 3-litre GT or not, because there's a big difference. So there's the 1600 GT and there's the 3-litre GT. And the 3-litre GT is the crown one. That's the real big baby. But the 1600 GT has its place as well. So we'd need to know that.
Okay, so Jonathan, get back to us with that detail. Jonathan's also got a Land Cruiser short wheelbase, 1986 diesel, BJ42, whatever that means, brake front end, and a 5-speed gearbox.
Yeah, those things are starting to go somewhere now. You may recall, Kylie, we've often spoken about the FJ40s, which we've got loads of. My business partner in the UK, Shirley Edwards Langford, she was a real pioneer for the FJ40s. And after the FJ40s came the FJ45 and the HJ, and then the BJ, which is the one that our friend's talking about there. Now, the FJ40s have gone nuts. They're anything up to about 80K. But the BJs are starting to follow now. So and also let him know, too, that there was an auction this week in Sydney where an FJ45, which is the one after the 40, that was a barn find in very poor condition, sold for $26,000. So that's probably about where his BJ is as well, about 26.
Got a Pete in Launceston. He's got a 1980 HZ Holden Ute, factory 308. He's also got a 1980 Holden HZ SL Wagon, factory 202. He says they're both Atlantis Blue, clearly really likes that colour, and both very good survivors. What do you think about those two?
Well, the HZ Ute, there was a time when they were on the road everywhere and there was loads of them around. Now you'd be battling to probably ever see one in any given year. They're a great Aussie ute, and certainly with a 308 in it, if it's the original 308, well, then that makes it a pretty desirable asset. And because it's a Holden ute, just because of that very factor there, it gives it a great, great street cred. It really does. And so about 45K for that. For the station wagon, if it had a V8 in it, it would be worth probably more than the ute. But with the 202 in it, it's probably going to be a bit less. It's going to probably be at about 35 or 36.
Sam's in Coles Bay. Hi, Sam. He's got a 1964 Valiant. Could be a she, actually. Hi, whether you're male or female, Sam. A 1964 Valiant Safari AP5 station wagon, push button, auto, roughly 300,000 Ks.
Oh, look, they're just such a beautiful car to look at. They're probably one of the sleekest, most attractive station wagons that there was of that era, and the push-button auto just makes them a real feature. The only thing that's against that car is the kilometres, and it really would have quite a significant impact. So a car that possibly could be worth 30 or 32K would, because of the kilometres, would only be worth about 18 to 19 on today's market.
Someone's just called in. They've got an 85 XF Falcon and says, what are they worth? Red, it's good condition. Wants to know, just mostly, are they going up in value?
They're not really going anywhere. The XF was one of the last of the Falcon shape, and they're not I had a look at some Falcons recently, and I expected them to have risen, but they haven't really. They're one of those cars that really is not going anywhere. It's just staying where it's at.
You know what? That one just there, that was from an earlier texter. Remember they rang in about that or texted about the 85 XF Falcon? So we needed to know, yeah, the colour and stuff. But, yeah, that's good to know for that texter or caller. Thank you. Jonathan's got a 72 GT Ford Capri, roughly 150,000 miles, a manual V6 3-litre British Racing Green. What is that one worth, says
right,
John. He sounds like he's got a lot of cars, Jonathan. He's texted a few times.
Yeah, that's right. Well, so that's the earlier text from a little earlier when we went back and asked for what the engine size was.
Yeah, that's it. Got it.
That's right. So if it's the 3-litre GT, well, that's the big daddy. And they're currently going for anywhere between 60 and 65 grand now in this country. But funnily enough, in the UK, they're going for the same amount in pounds. So if you were ever to sell a 3-litre Capri, because the 3-litre Capri is the big daddy of all Capris, that's the one to get. And the GT is the best version of that because there were other versions. There was the 3000E as well. So the best way to sell that would be, if you wanted to sell it, would be in the UK because they're about £60,000 if it's a nice car. So that's over $100,000, nearly $120,000.
I'm going to have to power through these now. I can't believe it's very popular tonight. You know how some nights absolutely everybody texts in? Tonight is one of those nights. David in Kingston. David in Kingston's got an 86 Toyota Tercel, the four-wheel drive, you know, the Tercel we were talking about earlier.
Yeah. Well, all the same rules would apply, you know, around the 20 grand mark or 20 to 22. That's amazing to get two Tercels in one night. And it's amazing to hear of two people that have got two Tercels.
I know.
They're super rare. They are super rare. And they were a really good little car. They really were. They were awesome.
This person has a 1984 Honda City Pininfarina. I've never heard of that. A convertible in good condition. Wondering what that might be worth.
Love the cities. Let the gentleman or lady know that I had loads of cities. I had City Turbo 2. And the City Turbo 2 were used at the rally school for the rally business. And the City Turbo 2 was the only car that I know of that came with a bicycle in the boot. That you had a fold-up bicycle.
Isn't that fantastic, a bicycle in the boot? And it actually came with that.
It did. They had a little box in the back with a fold-up bike that you used to put in the back of your Honda City Turbo 2. And so there was a Honda City, which is what the texter is talking about there. And that Pininfarina one, they were designed by Pininfarina in Italy, and they were, you know, they basically chopped the roof off a Honda City. Great little cars, Honda Cities, and they're so rare that they're actually hard to value, because I've never actually been offered a Pininfarina or seen or dealt with one. But just on the basic fact that it's such a rare Japanese car, and those cities and all the cities and the City Turbo 2s are all rising in value massively. That car has to be worth, if it's in great condition, about 28 grand. Has to be.
Brian says, what would a 1961 fully restored six-cylinder Willys Overland truck be worth?
Oh, I'm a bit vague on that. I would not know, because that's a truck, not a car.
It's
a bit early for me too, 61. I really don't know. I would not have a clue on that, Carly.
And Dennis in Penguin just wanted to share that